Welcome in, everybody. It's the QB List Podcast. It's Christmas time. It's ending of week three. It's 13, not three.
Three.
It's Brian. Oh, my goodness. It's Mario. And look, folks, we made it. We passed all the tiers. Our team's lost, but it's okay. We're still here. That's what we do for y'all. That's what we do for y'all.
Well, we're still here with the holiday spirit. Maybe in this mug is some spiked eggnog. Who knows? Whatever it takes to get us through at this time of year, but we're here.
Dude, what a wild... I mean, love the no buys this week. Action-packed, three games on Thursday, the one on Friday, Sunday, and then, of course, we got the Monday night game here. We're recording just before that, but three underdogs losing on Thanksgiving was unheard of. Then we go double back, and we do it again on Friday.
Yes.
And then on Sunday, it starts off with the Panthers taking down the Rams. This season, I believe we talked about it going into this past week, that it looked like the Rams were the only teams that was legit, not losing games they shouldn't. And then they go and do this. They join all of the other top-seeded teams. This year, I think it's anybody's game. Anybody could win the Super Bowl, possibly. Like, I think that if you told me Dallas and Houston made it to the finals, I wouldn't be surprised by that at this point.
You're so true. Like, this year, the in-the-hunt graphic means more than ever. A lot of times, it's like a joke. It's like, all right, we know those teams aren't competing. But like you just said, I think I saw that as of right now, the one seed and the seven seed in the NFC both have 9 wins. It's truly anything. It's week to week at this point. Yeah, but it makes me feel a little bit better as an Eagles fan because it's like, yeah, we lost on Black Friday. You mentioned all the favorites lost, which is crazy, but like, at least we lost to the one seed. Like, I'd hate to be the Rams losing to the Panthers.
And looking at the Bears as the number, I mean, we looked at the Colts as the number one AFC team for a bit. Now the Bears, the number one NFC team. It's a changing of the guard. I can appreciate that. As someone who's been a football fan for 20 plus years, I can appreciate when you get these bottom dwelling teams that start moving up. You know, the Lions, they're struggling again, but like, they've been good for a bit and it's been nice. Yeah. It's refreshing to see some of these teams climb out of the depths.
Yeah, and then you have on the flip side teams like the Titans, which are fighting to compete for the number one overall pick this year. The Jets, who kind of messed up their tank a little bit, but you had to win one out of pride.
What are we doing there, man?
Oh my goodness! But they know Atlanta doesn't have their own pick anyway, so they're like, who cares? We're gonna be like, it doesn't matter if they lose.
Let's just turn the Rams into a juggernaut. No big deal. No big deal.
The Rams need the help after losing to the Panthers.
Yeah,
and of course. It came after all the stats, like I was seeing on Twitter, where it's like Matt Stafford hasn't thrown a pick since week three, I think it was. And it's like, naturally, he throws a pick six. He has two picks that game, of course.
That is football, folks. And look, we don't have much more of it left. We have two more weeks until the majority of playoffs begin. These are vital weeks, folks. Don't give up if you're still fighting in for a playoff spot. Got the waiver wire episode here for you. We're here to make sure that you get in there, make sure we cash some checks, get all the way to the playoffs, get us some chips. And we got to talk about the players that get us there, the players that boom, the players that absolutely blow up. So let's start here with the quarterbacks. Who was your quarterback boom for the week?
Yeah, I mean, it has to be the guy finishing at number one. We talked about him. You talked about how he was your number two start of the week. We'll get to who the number one was, but Patrick Mahomes, his team lost. Like we said, the favorites did not win on Thanksgiving, but he did his part, right? 4 passing touchdowns, 30 yards with his legs. He was scrambling a little bit, making plays happen. He did everything he could to win that game, and it just wasn't enough.
I still can't believe that. I was watching it. I was like, oh boy, here it is. Classic Chiefs game. They're going to win it. No, Dallas held on.
It didn't happen.
That offense looks good. Like, I'm finding myself rooting for the Cowboys, like rooting for this. I know, but you take all the lore, all of the history of just the Cowboys fan base and Jerry Jones and all that. But like, you look at him like, oh wow, that guy Pickens, they only traded a 3rd round pick for him. That's pretty awesome. They traded away some picks to shore up that defense. And now the defense looks better. That's pretty cool.
Looks good.
Offense is talented. Like, it's hard for me not to root for them. Like, I was full on. I like Patty Mahomes and the Chiefs. Like, I don't mind rooting for them in most games. I was full on rooting for the Cowboys on Thursday. It's wild.
Oh, my goodness. I can't go that far. But I will say that the Cowboys are built like the dream team in Madden, right? Like, between Dak Prescott, who also had a terrific week this past week, but like CeeDee Lamb and Pickens, it's like you just can't go wrong. Like, no defense can defend either of those guys right now. So I think I also saw that they're 1 and 2 respectively in pass interference yards, like penalty yards. So even if you try to stop them, you can't.
Yeah. Sleeper. Hey, can we look into that being a setting? I would love to be able to get like just a portion of penalty yards that wide receivers earn, because would have saved a handful of my days if I could have gotten some of those penalty yards to put on my team. The quarterback I want to bring up also played on Thursday, and I haven't got to talk to about him a whole lot in the booms this year. I think this is only his fourth finish here in the top 12. Let's talk about Jordan Love getting the victory against Detroit, 31-24. Jordan Love's finishing with 25.8 points, 234 through the air, 4 rushing yards, and 4 passing touchdowns to match up there with Patrick Mahomes. This was a great day. You know, gave him the business. Dontavian Wicks walking away with 2 touchdowns. Oh, Christian Watson continued to look like a stud this year. Yes, yes, yes. Jaden Reed sitting there ready to come off IR any day now just to add to the weapons here. It was nice. It was nice to see this kind of a game from Jordan Love, because we don't get a lot of this from this Packers team.
No, what we get from this Packers team, and we talked about it in the sit start last week, but Jordan Love either finishes amazing or he costs you the week. Like, these are his last 6 finishes. He has 3 in the top 8, including a 1 and 2. And then he has 3 as quarterback 24 or worse. So it's truly either side of the spectrum. He just doesn't know how to be middle of the pack.
He's a talented Rex Grossman is what he is at this point. Like, you know, just hot and cold, hot and cold. You don't know which one it's going to be, but all the talent in the world. Rex Grossman was not at all. Other quarterbacks here. We got Marcus Mariota. Quarterback 3 on the week, almost pulled off the upset in overtime. Just a 2-point conversion away from taking the dub away from Denver. Bryce Young up here at the top again, QB4 finish. Trevor Lawrence, I know, I'm saying booms right now. These are all booms. Trevor Lawrence at 5, Dak Prescott at 6, Tyrod Taylor at 7.
Tyrod Taylor.
Jared Goff at 8, Brissett at 9, Joe Burrow up here at 10.
Joe Burrow.
Tyler Shuck at 11, and then Josh Allen wrapping up our pre-Monday night top 12.
Truly a who's who of names. Like, never in a million years would have predicted half these guys. Jets quarterback, Panthers quarterback, backup for Washington.
Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence. I mean, Tyler Shuck. Like, unbelievable. I had to learn how to say his name just for that.
Awesome. Let's go to running backs. Who's your running back boom this week?
Yeah, I'm just going to stick with the chalk here. Bijan Robinson, that looked unbelievable. There was a point early, I think it was going into halftime, Bijan got him all the way down to the red zone. And then, of course, Algier gets the touchdown. It's like we've seen this script before. But Robinson got his in the second half, 142 yards on the ground. 7 targets, looks like that ties Chase Brown for the high this week, which we'll get to him. He had a great week. But so just an unbelievable game from Bijan. This is why you drafted him where you did. He's out here getting you ready for the playoffs.
He'd be 6 points higher, too, if Tyler Algier wasn't a, you know what, just stealing his touchdowns.
I know.
Can't stand it. Cannot stand it. My running back boom this week, they figured out the key to beating Philadelphia. It's run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball.
Oh, gosh.
DeAndre Swift walking away as the RB2 on the week. 6.9 yards per carry. 125 yards rushing, 13 through the air, a rushing touchdown as well. And we're going to tag in his boy, Kyle Manungai, coming in RB7, 5.9 yards a carry, 130 yards for him as well, and a touchdown. Just the 1-2 punch. It kept everybody else quiet. You were kind of disappointed in the rest of the Bears. But this is how you win games, man. You know, you go in there and just shove it down their throat.
And they looked good doing it. I mean, Brian, it looked like you or I could walk the field and get 5 yards a carry.
Against the Philly defense. Like, there's no slouch.
Tough Philly defense. It's no slouch. We hear all the good things about, you know, Vic Fangio and the great defense he has. It was just, listen, whatever the Bears did, it worked. Like, Black Friday. And it was kind of sad. The Eagles did the blackout at home. Didn't work. They wore black for their own funerals.
Dude, they emptied out that stadium quick, too. It was like early fourth, and like seeing just the Philly fans, I'm like, dude, this is spoiled Philly fans after winning a Super Bowl. It's Super Bowl or they're out. They're out of there.
They probably got exhausted from just booing so hard. They're like, I lost my voice. I can't even boo. Let's get out of here.
We got Kamani Vidal finishing his RB3, 126 yards on the ground, 11 through the air. RJ Harvey kind of disappointing. I mean, ultimately, he scored two touchdowns, so you're okay with the performance, but only 35 on the ground, 27 through the air, and a backfield he's got to himself against Washington.
Yeah, I would say this was a disappointment. You're just saved by those two touchdowns. Any other week, he's going to be finishing as RB 20-something, 30-something.
Chuba Hubbard coming in RB5. This one was a little surprising as well, because you've got Rico Dowdle, who he did decent, but when Rico's out there, defenses load the box. They know they're running it. When Chuba Hubbard's out there, either, you know, they could pass it or they could run it a little bit. So it seems like maybe teams are figuring them out a little bit more. I think Rico Dowdle is now just closer to an RB2 than he is an RB1, and Chuba Hubbard might be closer to an RB2 than an RB3 going forward.
I think so, and I think one of the big things that really separated them was just the pass blocking, is that Chuba Hubbard is a terrific pass blocker. Rico Dowdle barely moves the needle at pass blocking, and I think it's just one of those things, like, to get the rock, you got to block, and that's how Chuba Hubbard's getting these opportunities back. And of course, like you said, right, like with the tear Rico's been on defenses, this is just a great way to keep him honest. But I, like you said, I think Hubbard's going to have some value when we get to sit starts later this week.
Devon Achane in RB6, 134 on the ground and a touchdown. James Cook, 144 on the ground at RB8. Derrick Henry, RB9. Javonte Williams, RB10. CMC at 11. And then Bam Knight at 12.
Yeah, Bam Knight, this is probably going to be the last week. We'll see if Trey Benson is going to be cleared. I think the expectation is he does return this upcoming week. But Bam's been terrific for you in the absence. Just kind of as we're figuring out who is the guy in this backfield, right? Like DeMercado is kind of gone, Michael Carter. It's like, oh, it's Bam Knight's backfield. Oh, here comes Trey Benson.
And not in the top 12, but Bucky Irving finishing at RB13. Happy to see him back up here at the top with the large absence we've missed on him.
Yeah, he looked terrific. And just want to also give a shout out to Vidal, because something we've talked about in the sit starts, it's like he's an every other week player, right? Like he has, just rattling some off, finish of 8. 33, 7, 44, 8, 56, and then the bye week happens. So it's just like, okay, wait, is he an evens odds player? Or is it every other week? So we got the confirmation every other week. Next week, he's playing Philly, Monday Night Football. We can already, even no matter how good Swift and Menungai looked, we got to sit Vidal. It's just in the numbers.
Well, I'm hoping we're sitting him because Omarion Hampton's back, but who knows? We'll find out hopefully sooner than later. Let's go to wide receivers. Start us off. Who is your wide receiver one in the week?
Oh, here's a chance for me to be able to play favorites. It's AJ Brown. It turns out that when AJ Brown did his little Twitch stream and was like, oh man, like just drop me in fantasy. Turns out that was like the ultimate ruse, because he's played two games since then. He's had 21 points finishing as wide receiver 5 and 30.2 points finishing as wide receiver 1. So that was just all a ruse. That was just those, like a way to weed out the non-real fans. So unbelievable. He looked good, even though the rest of the offense looked abysmal. Some of this was even garbage time points, which they were still competitive in the game. So not true garbage time, but 132 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Double-digit targets in each of the last 3 games, 3 touchdowns over the last 3 as well. AJ Brown, man, let's finish strong, buddy. Let's do it.
Ready Rashi for your consolation Rice. Bracket.
Rashi Rice coming in at wide receiver 2 on the week.
Yeah.
8 catches, 92 yards, 2 touchdowns for him as well. I mean, that'll just help propel you up there when you can't break 100 yards. So I pleasantly surprised with what we got to see from him on Thanksgiving.
Rice has been terrific. Like, just I know this is booms for this week, but just talking back in the previous week, since he's returned from suspension, he has a finish at Denver, very tough matchup, of wide receiver 38. But besides that, his lowest finish is wide receiver 10. So he has been absolutely like worth the wait. He aged like a fine wine. Great fantasy asset.
5 of 6 in the top 10. That's wild.
Unbelievable.
Dontavian Wicks coming in with 94 yards and 2 touchdowns, coming in at wide receiver 3. Jameson Williams with a banged up Amon-Ra St. Brown. That one hurt people. 1 target, no catches on the game. 144 yards for Jameson, though, and a touchdown. CeeDee Lamb at 5. 80 Mitchell, let's go, buddy. 8 catches, 102 yards, and a touchdown. Devontae Adams double scored for him. Devon Vele, 8 catches, 93, and a touchdown. Yeah, him. Remember him? The oldest rookie ever. Terry McLaurin, 7 for 96 in the touchdown. Didn't see that one coming. Nico Collins at 10, Jacoby Myers at 11, and Christian Watson, top 12.
Yes, he did. And then just right outside of the top 12, Alec Pierce has been like, you know, hot waiver ad. He cooled off last week against the bye. Tough matchup against the Chiefs, but looks great this week. And then Jalen Coker, like a Panther up here. Just a very wacky week in fantasy.
Not the Panther we'd expect either.
Nope.
Tight ends, who are you going to highlight this week?
Oh, my goodness. This one, I'm going to divert a little bit from the chalk. I'm going to go down all the way to number three, Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz with his 13 targets, turning back the clock. He's someone who I really think can thrive even with Mariota. Like, he's just been, in these most recent games, 13 targets the bye the week before, 8 targets the previous week before the bye. Not that great of a finish, just tight end 15, but the targets are there, the volume's there. And this was even with Terry back in the lineup. So really like what I'm seeing out of Zach Ertz.
Yeah, this is his first 100-yard game in...
Oh, you got to scroll.
Yeah, at least 4 seasons.
Wow.
It might be more. It might be more.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I'm we're going back 5 seasons. I don't have a 100-yard game from him. So, yeah,
oh
out
gosh.
Of nowhere, 6 seasons. Wow, he just...
Okay, ageless yeah. wonder, Zach Ertz.
2019, it looks like, was his last 100-yard regular season game.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Wowness. Love it. I'm going to go ahead and just take the chalk then. Brock Bauer, 63 yards, 3 catches, and 1 insane catch added onto there.
Insane.
2 touchdowns. Just Greg Olsen. We talked about him just being able to just pound the ball like to the tight end, throwing it there quite a bit. Trey McBride. I mean, death, taxes, and Trey McBride touchdown is really what we're looking at here. Yeah. It's 7 touchdowns over the last 7 weeks. Him and Brissett is just a nightmare for other teams.
It's crazy how what Brissett's doing just compared to what Kyler Murray failed to do for so much time. Like, it's unbelievable.
Kelsey at 4, Brenton Strange at 5, Kyle Pitts at 6. Honestly, I didn't even realize Kyle Pitts was up this high. Cole Kmet at 7, Evan Ingram at 8, Isaiah Likely at 9, Harold Fannin saved his day with a touchdown at 10, Tyler Warren did the same thing, only 22 yards and a touchdown, and then Dalton Schultz coming in at 12.
Yeah, just want to talk a little bit about Strange. He's someone that we kind of alluded to. He's still available in just about 70% of leagues, but this is his second consecutive week as tight end 5. We talked about how he is like a name to keep an eye on. This week he had a touchdown. The week before he didn't have a touchdown. So he's just kind of showing us he can do it all.
Absolutely. Anybody else you want to highlight before we get on to the stinkers?
I mean, just something like, who would have thought, like, when if you had a Baltimore tight end and a Cleveland tight end, it's just like, oh, I know those names. It's, you know, Mark Andrews and Njoku. And it's like, well, we'll get to them in a second.
Yeah. Mark Andrews didn't finish as high as I thought. Cincinnati still hemorrhaged to the tight end position. You had Likely over 90 yards. Kohler had a huge catch the first play of the game. His over-under was like 6 yards. He crushed it there on that first catch. Anyway, let's go to the stinkers. Let's go to the guys that didn't necessarily help your teams win. And I'll take the first quarterback because I feel like it's a little bit more fitting for you to take the second.
Nice.
I'm going to take Matthew Stafford here, QB 19 so far in the week, 18 for 28, threw 2 touchdowns, 243. It's not a bad game. 2 picks really didn't help him out a lot. First pick since week 3. But ultimately, this is what you're going to get from Matthew Stafford. This is why he wasn't ranked in probably hardly anybody's top 8 going into the draft season, because these guys need a huge outlier at passing touchdowns or rushing yards, and you're clearly not going to get rushing yards from the guy who has negative rushing yards on the season. So outlier passing, it wasn't crazy to predict that, but it is hard to. So these are just the lumps that you're going to see. 2 of his last 3 haven't been great, but I imagine he's going to rectify that and keep this moving, especially coming off a loss too.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Stafford. I do think he could be a top, even a top 8 rest of season, just because that offense has been cooking, but definitely a down one this one. The guy I'll talk about is someone who's had 2 bad weeks going into this week. He had a 6.7 finish at Cleveland, tough matchup, 7.2 against the Jets at home. And you're thinking, it's like, you know, the ghost of the defense still there, even though they traded everybody away. But this is the week. at home, hosting Cincinnati. Cincinnati's basically dead, playing for barely pride, if that. And here it is. I mean, credit to him. He did better than his last 2 weeks. 6.7, 7.2, 7.5. But Lamar Jackson, you were looking, you were thinking, it's like, hey, it's been bad these last couple weeks, but this is the get right game. This is where you solve your woes. The problems are no more. Struggled. He looked bad. He had the pick. He lost two fumbles. I don't know what's going on here with Lamar Jackson, but this is bad. I don't think you can, we're going to get to the sit start this week, but I don't think you can start him against Pittsburgh.
And this is make or break for him. They lucked out. Thank goodness Pittsburgh lost too, because Baltimore is in control of their own destiny. They are in control of the division as of now. So if they beat Pittsburgh this week, that's really going to help them. But we said, they're playing Cincinnati two of the next three games, you know, going into this past week. And he failed the first test. I hate to think that in Cincinnati is going to be any easier than at home this past week, but people are freaking out, and I completely understand if you want to pivot away. You know, he has not been, he's sent the rushing since the injury, 27, 11, 10, 36, and 14 yards. He's just not adding that. And then the fact that he's only thrown over 200 yards in two of his last five, it's concerning. No, not a single touchdown for Lamar in three straight games. That's got to change.
Wow. Wow. Oh, my goodness. Just when I thought he's back, Mark Andrews back, it's just, what's going on with this offense?
Nope. Running backs, who hurt us the worst?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, this is a lengthy list, but we'll just start at the top. Saquon Barkley, he was someone that was drafted top three, I want to say, in drafts this year. Last week, he made this column as running back 22. He made the bust list. This week, he topped that and is running back 40. Absolutely dreadful. And, of course, on the other side of the ball, the Swift revenge game, a none guy, the seventh-round rookie, they made it look easy. And Barkley just, he looked bad. Running back 40 probably cost you your week if you counted on him. I'm sure he's been under expectations. I don't have the number in front of me right now. We have to be going on double-digit weeks at this point with still a few weeks left to play.
Yeah, he hasn't had a finish in the top, 20 since week 8?
Yeah. That's week 8, crazy. He was number 4. And then besides that, he hasn't been single-digit finish since week 1.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yep, Madden curse, baby. Madden curse.
Oh, my gosh.
The other one I want to bring up, Travis Etienne. This was a game that they should have. I mean, they won 25-3. You would have thought it was better, but only 30 or 28 rushing yards, 13 receiving yards. Tootin got the touchdown, so you're just left there.
Toot, toot.
Yeah, toot, toot. He saved my day.
That's for you. That's
pretty sure I played him in GTA against you too, Mario.
Oh, my goodness. When it rains, it pours.
It does, folks. That's right. That's right. I'm getting the dub against him.
And my Lamar Jackson.
Thank goodness. wide receivers. Yes. Who stunk it up?
Oh, my goodness. Wide receivers. This one, a couple. Again, just these top talent guys. I'll go with JJ. JJ was 38 last week, and he made this column. This week, he topped that. He finished his wide receiver 88. And again, this is before Monday Night Football. He'll be in the 90s almost certainly. I can't imagine every pass catcher does worse than him. But just to get his exact stats in front of me, because it's so unbelievable, when I tried to write them down, they just erased off my computer screen.
Yeah, 6 targets, 2 receptions, 4 yards.
Four yards?
Justin Jefferson. And yes, he played 96% of snaps. Bo Melton played 17% of snaps, and he outscored Justin Jefferson.
I mean, a screen would just be enough, right? Like an end around, just something to get your playmaker involved. But this is what happens when the quarterbacks just look like you or I, just like they've someone from the Y back there throwing the ball for the Vikings. What a malpractice this offseason was from the Vikings. You have Daniel Jones looking great, Darnold feeding another stud wide receiver in Seattle, who almost certainly won't be on this bust list, but it's just unbelievable to say what happened to the Vikings.
Yeah, I think Darnold has a chance, like has to be like the first quarterback ever to go like back-to-back top 12 wins in a season with two different teams, just because nobody's ever gotten rid of their quarterback after a 14-win season. It's kind of crazy. Roma Dunze, two receptions, 8 yards, wide receiver 81. He has reached he's just the bench category for me. And Michael Pittman, 1 catch, 13 yards. Look, when you're going up against Stingley, you have an issue, but like, in a 10-team league, is Michael Pittman droppable?
It's close. I mean, we saw Alec Pierce seems to be the hot hands right now, and this could be another Denver situation where it's just like, just who granted, Sutton was the better back or better kept receiver this week, but just when you think you have it figured out, it's like, oh, we're gonna flip to the other guy. So it's down bad.
Speaking of that, Troy Franklin, wide receiver 69 on the week, pretty disappointing. Ricky Pearsall 74, that one hurts you. Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Yeah, it was a ghost this week. Yeah, I alluded to it with the Sam Darnold thing. He was due. Listen, JSN, we'd be greedy to not expect one down game over the course of, I think this is his first game without, what, 70-plus receiving yards?
Yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely horrible. It's not fair. It's horrific. Kind of like DK Metcalf and his 3 for 32.
Oh,
that 10-team league, is he droppable?
I think so, because that offense is anemic. That offense, you want the running back and nobody else. Yeah, and even the running back, like, sometimes it's Warren, sometimes it's Gainwell. Like, it's tough to pin.
Yeah, DK just seems like a landmine in 10-team leagues.
I would agree. The Marty Dome. I mean, that's what the Grand Theft Auto thing, when I took Lamar Jackson, that was my reaction. It was just the Marty Dome perk, if anyone's played Call of Duty. Guy killed me on his way out. One other wide receiver, Khalil Shakir, someone who had a pretty good week last week, was wide receiver 17. That 17 finish is sandwiched by a 104, where he had 0.2 points hosting Tampa. And then this week, he had 1 catch for 5 yards with a solid 1 point, finishing as wide receiver 90. It's just, well, you can't trust these guys. It's just, it's crazy.
It's stupid. It's stupid. That's what it is. tight ends. Let's talk about the ones that hurt us. Colson Loveland comes in at 27. Big disappointment after his top finishes over the last few weeks.
Loveland was a bummer. This one, I don't know if we'd call him a bust because maybe he was just such a short flash in the pan, but Aronde Gadsden II.
Yeah.
He, you know, we'll never forget week 7, tight end 1 with his 26 points. He follows that up with a tight end 4 finish, but since then, 15, 31, 21, 31. Those aren't his points, folks. That's his finish.
He's still a rookie. They've got tons of wide receivers. You know, they've got 3 viable wide receivers. I'm really excited for him and his future going forward. But, like, I think he falls into that tight end 8 to 14 each week. You know, it's just this team's not looking great. The Chargers are not looking good back half of this year.
And we'll get to injuries, but Justin Herbert did get banged up a little bit. But just some other busts to mention. Mark Andrews, you know, we kind of just talked about how great of a matchup, and he did have the bounce back from 1 point last week to 6.7, but you just hoped for so much more. When you see a matchup this juicy, you see the talent, you think something's going to be there, and they just spread the wealth too much. And especially when Lamar is barely given, like you said, not even 200 yards. So when Mark Andrews has 50 yards, it's like, whoa, my goodness, that's a quarter of Lamar's yards. Like, he must have had a terrific day, Mark Andrews. He was fine at best. Tight end 16.
My deep play on my streaming article, Gunnar Helm, unfortunately 6 for 23 is all he pulled in. He had an end zone target, almost pulled it in, almost saved our day. But folks, if you had to dig really deep for him, I too apologize. That one didn't turn out well for us. Juwan Johnson's only tight end 17 on the week, 5 for 39. I was pretty disappointed with him there. Kittle at tight end 14. Honestly, Kittle, if you don't give me top 3, I'm going to call you disappointed. It's understandable. It's kind of unrealistic for me to expect that. But sorry, buddy, when you're that good, you're running out there looking like TJ Miller. But I just need more points from you, man.
I love that. Last tight end I want to mention is Colby Parkinson, just because last week was a pretty dire waiver article, you know, especially with all the teams off of bye. It's just tough to find things. But Colby Parkinson was someone we really liked, just because he's been getting so much end zone work, red zone work. This was the first week in the last 4 where he did not get a touchdown. He did tie his career high in targets of 5 targets. He couldn't bring anyone in the end zone. So that one hurt my pride.
Terrence Ferguson, the rookie tight end on that team, 0 for 2. So nothing to show for it. he looks good. He looks good. We're going to talk about him this offseason, folks. Might be one of my favorite sleeper tight ends going into it. Nice. Any other busts you want to talk about?
That kind of highlights him. Cade Otton, I don't know if he can count as a bust because it's just like we know we're down bad if we're starting him.
I'll say you mean Tampa Bay, Dallas Goedert? Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that was unnecessary.
Nothing
Dallas Goedert.
Special there.
Never forget when Dallas Goedert was leading the NFL in touchdowns week 8. Then the bye week happened. Then A.J. Brown took to Twitch and everything changed.
All righty, folks. That was your booms. That was your busts. Let's head on over to the injury roundup here. We've got Justin Herbert. We're starting off broken bone in his non-throwing hand. As of now, it looks like Philly is just a 3-point favorite going into the Monday night game. So I imagine they think he plays. He did just have surgery, I believe, this morning on that. So stay close. Watch the news. Check that out.
Yep. And just it is his non-throwing hand, and he plays Monday night football. So he even has the extra day to prepare. So like I said, right now it seems like he's trending, but so early. Be sure to monitor the injury reports.
Nice. What else we got?
Yeah, then we have a string of people, of players who left the game early this past week. So you had Marvin Harrison Jr., who, not from his appendix this time, but it was his hand, so he left the game in the second quarter. Still outscored Michael Wilson, by the way, which I thought was crazy. And just a thing, like, I don't know if this is a Bernstein Bears situation, but I really thought he was Marvin Harrison the second. And now everywhere I'm seeing, he's Marvin Harrison Jr. So
isn't that the
I don't
same
know.
Thing?
It's not as a junior. That is not the same thing. You're
is
either a junior or a second.
But
no,
you're Mario the second, aren't you?
I'm junior. I'm junior. Like Ken. It's not Ken Griffey the second. Nobody's like, oh man, but you play Ken Griffey the second baseball growing up. What a game
Mario
that was.
Senior, right?
Yes, but
so you
no
would
Mario
be the second one, right?
No, it's junior. Like, you wouldn't get it as a non-junior.
Interesting.
You don't get
so there's a difference. It's the same, but it's a different. Okay, all right.
It's
all right.
Different, which is why I was so when I was like sending. Anyways, Marvin Harrison Jr. I swear he was the second last year, but we're gonna do a deep dive into that. He
so does
left
that mean
the game.
He's Ken Walker Jr. Jr.?
No, that's the third. There's nothing after junior. That's ridiculous.
You can't go junior junior.
That's ridiculous.
We need to look into that.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, okay. Some off-season projects we got. Some other players that left the game. These two both had calf injuries. Maybe the same calf. I'm not sure. But Dylan Sampson, the kind of pass-catching back, who we know Judkins is a studkins there, but just a name to monitor. Sampson left the game early because of a calf. So did Sauce Gardner. This one stinks for the Colts, you know, as they're trying to make this playoff push. Now all of a sudden they're playing for the division this upcoming week. Can't believe it took us 30 minutes to talk about that, but
I don't want to talk about. He didn't tear his Achilles, thank goodness.
No,
he said it felt like somebody shot him in the top of his calf, not down in the Achilles. It still could be an Achilles thing. I'm scared. I am so scared. I'm like, can we just shelf him for the rest of the year? Because if he tears his Achilles, it's done. It's just
He's not coming back for a bad time.
A
so
while.
I believe I heard he's closer to. I love it. I believe he's closer to week to week versus day to day. So I do think they're going to rest him, just kind of play it cautious because, of course, they did invest so much in him. Like, you'd rather him for the long term. Something to monitor for that defense. Parker Washington left the game early due to a hip injury, and Aaron Jones left the game in the third quarter with a shoulder injury. He's someone who I'm not sure if it's a day to day or week to week. So it's one to monitor.
I'm kind of not that I don't care about that one, because obviously we want Aaron Jones healthy, we want over there. But like, as far as like a pickup waiver, I don't think I care. I don't want to play any Vikings. I definitely don't want to play Jordan Mason if Aaron Jones is gone. Like, it's just, Aaron Jones,
Vikings are sad.
You've been a greatness for us for so long. I just hope you're healthy. That's all I really care about.
Day to day is what he is, not week to week. And he's a senior, so we'll have to ask, we'll have to do some research as to whether there's an Aaron Jones Jr. or an Aaron Jones the second.
So would I be Brian Hartman the first? There is no
you know
Brian
what,
Jr.
Guess,
but like, would I be Brian the first?
You're one of one. Yeah, you're Brian Hartman, one of one.
So I'm gonna start putting an I behind my name.
I love it.
Oh,
that's the injury roundup. So
that's the injury roundup and the moronic thoughts that come through my mind. Folks, let's go to the waiver wire. This is what you've been waiting on. This is what we need to make it through. We have four bye weeks, the final bye weeks. Final. That means start sit are going to get wild with me and Mario going forward. 16 games every single week. But this week we've got no Panthers, so no Rico, no Tet McMillan, Patriots, so no Henderson, no May, Giants, it's no Jackson Dart. I don't know who else is starting. What? Tracy?
Tracy?
Tracy.
Singletary? Tracy Jr., by the way.
Not Tracy the second. And then Niners, we got no Brock Purdy, no Juwan the kicker Jennings, and CMC Kittle?
Oh, yeah. Christian McCaffrey, who is,
that guy. Forget about him. Awesome. Let's start off with some running backs. Let's talk some RBs here that we're looking at to pick up this week.
Yeah, so one person who I'm really excited about, we've talked about him a couple times this past week, had a pretty solid finish despite the tough matchup, is a running back two, which is kind of what you're targeting him as. But Chris Rodriguez Jr., he played against Denver, tough matchup. But right after this, it's going to be a juicy, juicy slate at Minnesota, at the Giants, hosting Philly, hosting Dallas. And then if you do play week 18, he's at Philadelphia one more time. So a terrific slate of matchups. And just looking at his past couple of games, he's been a running back two, most like more often than not, has a chance for these running back one finishes with as best as 15. So I guess right outside it. But either way, he's someone who I'm targeting the most. He's available in just about 75% of leagues.
Nice. We talked about him last week, but Devin Neal, got to talk about him. Looked pretty good out there. The team's going to struggle. His opportunity to score is going to be few and far between, I think, most weeks. But this week they've got a decent matchup against the Buccaneers, another divisional game. I think you can see enough work. He saw some in the passing game, which was a bit of a bright spot for him. So Devin Neal, if he didn't get scooped up this past week, 10-team leagues, I think you have a better chance of grabbing him. But time frame going forward, week 14, 15 look good.
They look really good. And like you said, I think he's someone that's even 10-team startable. Because I think especially as we get to this point, we talked about, is Michael Pittman going to be better than some of these guys in the flex? And I think that Neal is someone that has the upside, especially at that premium position. I'm going to jump over to a pair of wide receivers I want to talk about. This one I'm going to give you credit, so if you want to elaborate on him, please do. But Christian Watson, he's looked pretty solid. He is, again, kind of flirting with these wide receiver two with some upside. Just looking at his finishes the last couple of weeks, week 12, wide receiver 12 this week. Last week was 36 with no touchdown. Not great, but he still had 49 yards, 5 catches, so doesn't really lose you the week. And then before that, he had the 2 touchdowns again. So he's almost like a touchdown or bust, but he seems to be the guy getting the touchdowns in Green Bay. I thought he was a phony, but ever since he's come back from this injury, it seems like he's really getting into rhythm.
Someone we forgot to bring up on the injury report. I'm trying to look for exact wording on who it was, but Kyren Williams, a little banged up there. I believe it was an ankle injury.
Oh yeah.
I'm remembering. So Blake Corum definitely should be scooped up if he's not already. 12-team leagues, he's probably is already picked up. 10-team leagues, start moving that way. He says he feels pretty good about the injury, but either way, even if he isn't 100%, he's still out there. Blake Corum is probably going to cut more into that workload. 13 attempts yesterday for Kyren, 72 yards and a touchdown, which is great. But Blake Corum's out there. He's spelling him a little bit, and then even near the goal line, he's looking good. 7 attempts, 81 yards and a touchdown for Corum.
Really good call there. You're right. We did miss that injury. Somehow, because that was a bigger one. I think that Kyren left the game at halftime, but did return.
He returned,
So that ended up what happening there. But you're right, definitely one to monitor, especially as the Rams are now kind of, I don't want to say slipping, but that loss to the Panthers woke them up.
You're hoping they're slipping.
I am, but I also have Kyren Williams, so I hope that he is not slipping. But season might be over. Another name, this is one that we've talked about a lot, and a little bit of a bummer because we'll get to that. But Alec Pierce, someone who you talked about, he seems like he lost the job to Pittman. He found the end zone, 4 out of 5 targets, 78 yards and the touchdown. The week after the bye, when we were kind of all like, hey, go get this guy, comes back at Kansas City, tough matchup, finishes with just 3 points. But discounting that, or we'll even count that game, he has finishes of 13-66, which is the bad matchup we just talked about, 14-15. So besides that, he's really been just outside these wide receiver one numbers. The only downside is his rest of season schedule, kind of the opposite of Chris Rodriguez. He has to play Saxonville twice. That's Jacksonville, if you didn't know. But they look terrific on defense. Seattle, who is no slouch, and San Fran, who both those 15 and 16 matchups are going to be really fighting for a playoff spot. So a little weary there.
This will be a big time matchup. Couple of eight and four teams, Colts and Jacksonville. Jacksonville, they take advantage of like turnover opportunities, really good there. But I will say the best spot you can beat them is the outside as far as like receivers. That receiver that's, you know, Alec Pierce position versus the Josh Downs or the Michael Pittman. So I think that Alec Pierce, and they play the Jacksonville again in the championship. So this might just be setting the stage for how comfortable you could feel going back to them in when they're playing in Indy in the championship game.
I like that a lot. Just a little look ahead spot.
Samaje Perine returned to Thanksgiving after missing multiple games. It's all Chase Brown. It's all his team, but Samaje Perine, they're trying to get him more worked in there. Chase Brown really shouldn't be a 90% back. Like, he's just not built for that. Keaton Mitchell, another name to keep an eye on. Justice Hill landed on IR last week, and Keaton Mitchell's explosive. Like, this guy was talked about in the same breath as far as his yards per carry with Devon Achane, their rookie year before the injury hit. So another, just be aware of the situation. Look at what you're on your team. Do you have players that you're probably never going to play between now and the playoffs? Drop them. Pick up your defense for the next week. Pick up these running backs that could be fillers for you or other teams. Really get strategic with how your team's built. Are there tons of quarterbacks on the waiver wire that you could play each week? Then you probably don't need a second one. Drop him, you know.
I like that.
Kickers on a bye. You know, just start really checking out what your situation is. Tight ends. If you don't have a stud, then you're going to need two. You're going to need to start planning that ahead. So guys like Michael Pittman, do we want him on our team going forward if, you know, this situation? I don't know.
I like that a lot. And just kind of combining those two points, right? So if you don't think you're ever going to start Michael Pittman, right? It's like, hey, the buys are going to be good and he's just not better than my other two wide receivers. Pick up Tyler Allgeier, who's available in just over 60% of leagues, who unreliably, but does continue to see work, and far and away, his value is going to skyrocket. So you want to be the guy that all of a sudden, if something does happen to Bijan, knock on wood, it's not like you have, it's like, oh man, like I don't have the most fab or like I don't have the waiver priority. Like I don't have him. Go ahead and grab him while you can.
Tank Bigsby, you know, he comes to mind as well in those games.
Pivoting away from these handcuffs, and we can get to more if we have any more. But last week we talked a lot about one Jets wide receiver, John Mechie III. Maybe he's not the guy. Is A.D. Mitchell actually the Jets wide receiver we want to roster? Is there a Jets wide receiver we want to roster?
I prefer A.D. Mitchell out of him and John Mechie. I don't remember if we talked about this on the start sit. Maybe it was me and Jay. I know A.D. Mitchell, it's been bad. It hasn't been great. Overall, like raw talent, I would take A.D. Mitchell over John Mechie, and just where they're seeing targets. That was the huge difference from why I was actually interested in A.D. Mitchell. Is A.D. Mitchell is getting these downfield looks. He's getting the big playability, whereas Mechie, it may be decent PPR-esque, but it's right by the line of scrimmage. He's not breaking off these big plays, so I think it kind of caps you. So if you are having to get to the point where you're rolling the dice with a Jets player, A.D. Mitchell's the kind of guy I'm looking at. You know, this is what the reason was. You know, him going out there, getting that big touchdown. I believe it was 7 targets, 7 catches, something like that. He looked good. And if it's Tyrod Taylor, I like him even more.
Definitely. It's that I don't think he's startable with Justin Fields. And just about these targets, you're right. I mean, the last 3 weeks since he's been acquired to the Jets, he has had 6 targets his first game he played, 7 targets, 12 targets. And the biggest difference is the catches, right? Like one catch, 2 catches. 8 catches. So if Mechie can just catch this ball, which seems like it's been his problem all year, not as bad as Brian Thomas Jr., but still, if he catches the ball, his value is going to skyrocket. So he's even someone I might be willing to pick up, available in 95% of leagues, just as in case of, you know, break in case of glass, right? Like if Amon-Ra is set to miss a couple of weeks, you got to throw A.D. Mitchell there. I think that could work.
Yeah, questionable matchup this week against Miami, but then first week of the playoffs, he gets Jacksonville.
Ooh, Jacksonville's kind of tough.
It's enticing. But rough situation. These are 12-team leagues or higher that you're looking at if you're going this direction.
Agreed.
So Amon-Ra, I don't think we actually talked about him in the injury spot, but suffered a low ankle sprain.
Oh, you're right.
Rumor is he's going to – I mean, this is a tough guy. this is the guy that wrote down everybody's name that was drafted ahead of him. He's, you know, takes offense to that. He isn't a, he isn't just, I mean, he's a sun god. He isn't just man. He is part of mortal. So I imagine he's going to be out there. Statistically, when you look at this, these guys that come back, it's a little, the target share is hampered over the next couple of weeks. So even if he's out there, I do think you're going to look at a little less from him. Guys you would look at to pivot, though, would be Khalif Raymond, who we've seen before. He can kind of fill in. He gives me, like, I know Dontayvion Wicks had 2 touchdowns this past week, but like that Dontayvion Wicks, good. Romeo Doubs-esque, they can fill in and they can get you a multi-touchdown game, but they could also give you a 4 catch for 32 yards kind of a game. So he's definitely there. And then there's the rookie, the new hotness, the Isaac Tesla, a guy very similar to like Pat Bryant for the for Denver. He was a day two guy. They took him in round 3, overdrafted. If you look at all of the mock drafts, these him and Pat Bryant, were neither one of them were supposed to go as high as they did. They went in the 3rd round. They absolutely love him, though. From everything I've seen, all the coach speak, they absolutely love Isaac Tesla, and he's a huge, he looks like...
I thought he was a tight end.
Yeah, he looks like Megatron out there, just a big fella. Now, he's not. I'm not comparing him to Megatron. I'm just saying, like, physically, hulking, he can be a presence down there in the end zone. You've got J-Mo with the speed. You've got Tesla down there to post him up if you need. So, intriguing. I don't know if I'm playing this week. Like, even if you're down that bad, I don't know if you'd be willing to play it. If not then when? You know, because yeah. Amon Ra is only going to get more healthy. But if you're in a pinch, those are the two names I'm looking at.
One other name I'm looking at, this guy, Jaden Higgins, is of the Texans. We've talked about him a lot these past couple weeks. And I'll say he's not someone that's going to win you the week, but he won't lose you the week. Like, just looking at his past finishes, 31, 22, 33, 24. It's like, hey, I'm in a little bit of a deeper, I'm in a pinch. I need a wide receiver 3. I need a flex who's just going to give me 8+ points. Higgins, you can count on for that versus some of these other guys who, like we said, like the Jets player, Mitchell. It's just like he could go back to having the drop season and only catch 2 of his next 7 targets. Higgins has kind of proved that he's going to continue to be involved, even though he's kind of limited by his snap count, kind of hovering around this 50-60%. They're continuing to use him in the offense. This week was actually his fewest targets since week 9 when they played Denver, a very tough matchup. But even still, he got his 9 points. So he's someone I like a lot as a safer floor.
In 5 of the last 6, he's 5 targets, 9 targets, 7, 7, and 8. Like, that's great. That's a great floor. He is a rookie, so you're expecting this to kind of grow. And technically going all the way back to week 4, he's scoring a touchdown every other week. And folks, he didn't score one this past week, which means week 14 would be his week. We're looking at a touchdown, an inside touchdown. Mario's giving out money if he doesn't score. Guaranteed. Even that's what he's doing.
I talked about this last week in the waiver wire article, but he is an even week merchant. So keep an eye on that.
Excited. Yeah, definitely a rookie I'm excited to pick up and own. Devon Vele, I feel like we have to bring up his name, just the target share he got, the big play. I'm not really interested. This was not a guy I was really interested in as a prospect. He's really, really old. This offense doesn't, I don't
it's
think
just they the age
thing. Statistically, you see these guys that are coming out at this age, they hit a lot less likely than they do. But just, I don't think this offense can support more than Juwan Johnson and Olave. And then you add in Devin Neal in the mix. And, you know, who knows if Taysom Hill shows up just to ruin the day. So I don't really think at this point, 2 weeks before the playoffs, I'd be going that direction. But just throwing that name out there.
Yeah, he is someone since the bye, he's gotten 7 targets and 8 targets. Could be interesting to see what happens there. But at the same time, kind of talked about, like, I don't trust the quarterback. This one to me is like a deeper situation. But I mean, you said that as well. But yeah, now we're
Luther
really
Burden, I'll throw out there, is just a rookie I love. I want pieces of as well.
Yeah. Just pivoting away from wide receiver running backs, which we can revisit, but just, you know, if we're talking quarterback situation, maybe you have Lamar and you're like, I can't take this anymore. Jacoby Brissett is still available in over 60% of leagues. And at this point, his worst finish is quarterback since he's taken over the starting job is QB 12 all the way back in week 7. Since then, he has a pair of 10s, a pair of 8s, and a 4. So Jacoby Brissett. Yeah. So great hand in Rummy. But so he's someone I'm shocked that his roster percentage is still so low. And I expect this to be consistent, right? Like, we're seeing Bryce Young with a QB4 finish this week. I don't think that's going to be consistent. Same with Trevor Lawrence at 5. But Jacoby Brissett at 9, I could see more and more of this happening.
Tell me why I'm going to suggest Trevor Lawrence as a streamer this week. Tell me why Trevor Lawrence, as much as I want to like him and I want to root for him, I can't because he hasn't been great and it's been kind of bad and it's been even worse and I really can't get on board anymore. But tell me why this guy has only had one game outside of the top 14 quarterbacks since week 5. Tell me how 3 of those performances, including the last 2, were in the top 7. And now you're asking a fella to go play for the division at home against a hampered Indianapolis team who probably won't have Sauce Gardner, who's putting a quarterback out there with a broken leg, who I kind of like this matchup. I think he's a decent stream this week if you're looking for a Lamar pivot or a Drake May pivot because he's on bye.
Yep, Drake May, Brock Purdy, Jackson Dart, any of those guys. I agree. So you mentioned since week 5, that's he's kind of turned this around. Since week 5, he's quarterback 7. He's above Bo Nix, Justin Herbert, Jared Goff, like some of these really startable guys. And of course, you know, there's a few injury names that are beneath him, but still, he's someone who I think we're just kind of so down on that maybe we've swung too far.
The last 5 games, too, 25, 29, 35, and 24 yards rushing. 3 rushing touchdowns in that time. Like, that's not something that I normally would think of when I think of Trevor Lawrence. Hey, let me give you a baseline of almost 3 points just rushing. Like, that's awesome.
That's exactly what I was going to say, is over the last 5 weeks, he has one game where he hasn't rushed for at least 24 rushing yards. And it's closer to 30 than not, but he has one with 9. And in the 9 rushing yards, he had a touchdown, so makes up for it there.
Yeah, he's a big fella. When they get there in the goal line, he doesn't have to push it. He can just literally reach it over, and as soon as he crosses the threshold, it's a touchdown. So it works out for him.
It is. It is. And then I have to ask, so we're still keeping an eye on the second-year player over in Washington, whose name escapes me at this moment. But in case he – Jaden Daniels. Yeah, I don't know where that went. In case Jaden Daniels, he may return this week. My understanding is when he's healthy, he is playing. They're not going to shut him down regardless of what's going on. Mariota at Minnesota, which is fun to say. Do we trust him after he just looked terrific hosting Denver and the week before the bye finishes quarterback 9?
I'd be okay with it. And honestly, 9's coming back for this game too. He looks like he's going to clear concussion protocol. So.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
We're not at defenses yet, so let's wait a second.
Freaking 9, man. Jaden Daniels, I'm willing to put him out there. I'm playing Mariota in several leagues. Just having to pivot there, and I'm just waiting for Jaden Daniels to come back and I can put him right back in my lineup.
I agree. If Jaden Daniels is healthy, I trust him, same way we did with Joe Burrow when he was healthy. But if Jaden Daniels doesn't return, Mariota in a deeper and a 12-14 man league, I think I like the other options we talked about more, Brissett and Trevor Lawrence, but listen, some of these leagues, people are hoarding 2 quarterbacks and you need to pivot. Mariota's an option.
Yeah, I don't mind it at all, especially in like a super flex league. He is a great second quarterback.
Yeah.
Tyler Shuck?
Are we that desperate? Wow, we're getting... No. I'm not Tyler Shuck desperate, but if you have the case, please, for our listeners, tell them why they need Tyler Shuck.
I don't. I play Lamar again. Just play Lamar.
I would agree with that. I would listen. I would take Lamar again, the 2-time MVP. But nice. Tight ends.
Yeah, let's talk some tight ends.
Brandon Strange has to be my number one. He's coming back from injury. Maybe you were a little nervous about like what's going on there. But listen, 2 finishes right now before Monday Night Football in the top 5. And he's doing it different ways. He's getting involved in both in the big yards and in the touchdown. So I will say the targets worry you a little bit, 5 targets and 4 targets. This is tight end we're talking about. This isn't a premium position where the guys are going to be getting 7, 8, 9 targets. I think we're just happy with the consistent level of work, right? 5 targets, 4 targets. If he can keep that up, 1 breaks for a big play or 1 breaks for a touchdown, he's going to continue to put up these top 5 performances.
And his yards per target are good. You know, 18 yards in the first game back, 11 over 11 yards in the second game. That's where it kind of makes up. Like, 3 to 5 is sketchy for a streaming tight end. That's about the bare minimum you want. But when you've got other guys giving you 4 catches for 40 yards, this is drastically better. You know, getting it deep down there, he is, he's not really a touchdown presence. This is his first one of the year, but I he's 6'4". You know, he's a big fella.
Can't teach big.
He can't teach big. Darren Waller has to be brought up here. Folks, it was decent showing out there, but that's all you really need. Jalen Waddle and Achane are the motor. He's just going down there capping it off with the touchdown at the end. Didn't get one this week, but I'm going to have him as a top 10 rest of season rankings as long as he's healthy.
I agree. Like, someone has to catch the balls there. It's not all Waddle, so I like the Darren Waller a lot. I want to ask you, Harold Fannin Jr., are we trusting him? His day kind of got saved by the touchdown. He didn't really. He's had 40 yards, about 40 yards in 3 of the last 4 games, but that's not doing it for you. But he did have the touchdown this week. Is he someone that we think is going to build off this momentum? Like, is he someone we'd pivot to, or is he kind of still in that like 12 to 15 range?
The hard thing is, he's had what, 3-4 quarterbacks so far this year?
That's true. We should have some consistency with Sanders, it looks like.
Yeah, he got saved with that big touchdown that he had. I'm willing to put him out there just because I was a huge fan of him coming into the season. Just his athletic prowess that he has, the way he isn't the best at anything as far as athletic numbers wise, but he still finds a way, A, to get open, and B, to break tackles. He's nothing hulking of a human, and yet he gets it done. He's just fun to watch, so I don't mind him. He falls in that Brenton Strange, that tight end 8 to 14 realm where, I think he has a better chance of falling in the end zone than some of the other guys you're putting. Like, him or Dalton Schultz? He's just a sexier Dalton Schultz.
Yeah. I like that. I think that's a really fair take. I'll say him or Juwan Johnson, I think, is kind of in that same breath of someone who, Juwan Johnson, who has been getting the targets, 9 targets this past week, 7 targets the week before. He's someone I think could be worth a look at. He's rostered in, or he's available in just about 55% of leagues. So someone to keep an eye on there. Listen, I won't mention Shuck. I'll mention Shuck's pass catcher.
Nice. Trying to think of anybody else worth mentioning that we haven't mentioned either this week or last week. Defenses, anybody you want to toss out there?
Yeah, we'll save the rest of the tight ends. So that way they have a reason to check out your streaming article. But let's talk about some defenses. So the first one, and this one is, let me see, available in just about 45% of leagues. So a little bit over the threshold, or under, however you want to look at it. But they're coming off of 1 point, so maybe they get dropped. Cleveland Browns, they're the team facing the Titans this week. We always target that matchup 1 of 1, so I love that. But if they are rostered, which wouldn't surprise me, this team is available in 93% of leagues, the Commanders. Commanders, their last couple games have not inspired confidence. 3 points, 4 points, minus 2 points. This week they're going at Minnesota. 9 sounds like might be coming back. It doesn't matter who's throwing the ball in Minnesota. It seems like nobody can throw the ball in Minnesota. They might be asking for Carson Wentz to return at this point. So I like him a lot. I like Washington a lot. And my last one, it would be the Eagles, Philadelphia. They are, unfortunately, rostered in 70% of leagues, which feels crazy because their last few showings have been dreadful. 4 points, 5 points, 8 points, and all really tough matchups. So I guess I really expected them to be more highly available.
But they're taking 53% in ESPN. So like, I think depending on your platform, okay, they were dropped in a lot of leagues that I'm in because I almost picked them up just like, okay, the Eagles are sitting there.
Great. So I'm glad that these numbers are a little inaccurate. So they're playing at LA against the Chargers, which I like to see, especially if Justin Herbert, we talked about at the top of the show, he may return, but even if he does return, he's not going to be 100% healthy. It's his non-throwing hand, but I expect that to hamper him. I expect it's either going to be like a lot of things under shotgun, kind of like what we saw with Aaron Rodgers when he hurt his hand. Mm-hmm. So something to monitor there.
Yeah, Eagles are just an average play for me if Herbert's out there. I still think, like, I don't think they'd ruin you, but if he's out and it's Trey Lance, I'm love excited it to play him at that point. Buccaneers, they host the Saints in week 14. I like them as a decent, deeper play. And, I mean, then the Dolphins. Like, look, the Dolphins have heart. As much crap as we were giving them the first month in the preseason, their team's not talented. They don't have a lot of huge talented pieces. The teardown is happening. But they scored 13 fantasy points last week again, and they get the Jets this week.
Yeah.
I think you could do a lot worse. If you're in a pickle, maybe your streaming defense is out or whatever reason you just didn't have. I think you could do a lot worse than the Dolphins this week.
I agree. I like against the Jets. I don't think Tyrod's going to be this good every single week.
No, and even so, he's not tossing four touchdowns, 300 yards to ruin you.
Last one, and this is just a pure look-ahead defense because this is going to be their toughest matchup they have for the remainder of the season. But the Saints. The Saints, I'm seeing, are available in 90% of leagues. This week they're facing at Tampa. They're a little banged up, Tampa, but I still think that matchup scares you. It's divisional as well. But after that, they host Carolina, they host the Jets, and week 17, they are playing the Titans. So if you are a team with playoff aspirations, I don't care if you're the one seed or the six seed, you pick up the Saints. They are going to be your defense for the playoffs.
They've scored double-digit points in two of their last three. Atlanta and Carolina, they got 12 points against. So.
And you kind of talked about it, where it's like they played Carolina once. What happened? So I like that as a look ahead.
Carolina, spot. The Jets, and the Titans. God, that's juicy. And all the this offense has to defense. Do is just not give it back to the team too often.
Yeah, that's exactly like right. As long as they can just tread water, they're fine. Yeah. So they are far and away like my again. If you're a six seed, I don't care if you're even on a bubble team. If you're a bubble team, you pick up this defense because guess what? If you are outside the bubble, nobody in the playoffs are getting your defense.
Intriguing. It's intriguing to say the least.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. What else you got for the people?
Oh my goodness. I think that's it, Brian. I think that's a little chef's kiss. I think that's it for this sit start. The people are going to have to wait until Friday to hear our sit start matchups. That's going to be a fun one. Last week with buys, we're going to see what's going to happen when there's all 16 games. Maybe some get a little, especially in the playoffs, some of these matchups might be a little turbo rounded, but yes, otherwise you can find me on Twitter at Mario Adamo Jr. The Waiver Wire article always drops Tuesday morning, same time as this podcast. Give that a read. We'll see. Might be a couple celeb shots, a few guest writers these last couple weeks. You know, I want to spread the love. But I think that's my spiel. Brian, tell me. Tell the people.
Looking for more of me and my stuff, it will be at @too_much_Brian on Twitter. All the shows I do is run up through that, as well as my tight end streaming article you can check out there. Usually pops up late Tuesday, early Wednesday. I try to wait a little bit just to get more info in there. But you can check that out, as well as the other quarterback and defensive streaming options. All of the amazing articles, the Start Sit by Jay, the What We Saw by Brett and that great crew that we have there over there on QBList.com, football.pitcherlist.com. But we appreciate y'all listening. Don't miss out Brett's episode tomorrow. Brett and the boys on the podcast dropping to you on Wednesday. And then, of course, we've got the Friday, Saturday back-to-back for you. Share, advice, or share, review, all that great stuff. We'll see you all next time. Later.